Hey there, welcome back. Bill DeYoung here with the St. Pete Catalyst Arts Live podcast. Today, my special guest is David Manson, who is not only the head of the, executive director of the St. Petersburg Jazz Festival.
That's correct.
Okay, he's a distinguished faculty at St. Pete College, where he has taught music for how many years?
A very long time. Let's say 31 years.
Okay. Well, that is a very long time. So we're talking 90s. I was thinking about the 90s the other day. Oh, my God. That was a long time ago. You've been there a while.
A while. And, we saw St. Pete really become kind of an arts center in the 90s. I remember the galleries that, came and went. But there was a big arts scene then. A lot of people think the arts scene in St. Pete started in the last 5 or 10 years, but it was really well established in the 90s forward.
I wasn't living here then. I was born here, but was gone for quite a long time. And, I sort of had this impression that it was basically boarded up downtown and, crickets.
Not really.
It was coming out of that era, is what you're saying.
Right. It came out of that area, and there were little patches here and there. They weren't connected into one zone like we have now. We have several zones, actually, but they were patches here and there. So you had to travel between those sections on Central and, in various stages. We didn't have Grand Central as a place or the Warehouse Arts District. But there were galleries and there were performances, and it was an interesting time.
What was the music scene like in those days?
Strangely, a lot of experimental music happening at that point in the early 90s, well, the 90s all through. We had the Amidst Series, which is the nonprofit that actually hosts the St. Petersburg Jazz Festival. Uh-huh. We did over 40 concerts at the Salvador Dali Museum, the older St. Salvador Dali Museum.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And then galleries and a large audience base of experimental music.
Were you in Bogus Pomp? Is that what I'm remembering?
Yes, for 14 years.
Let's explain to the folks at home what Bogus Pomp was. I don't know if it's still in existence, but
they come and go at this point. It was around a 9 or 10 piece Frank Zappa repertory group.
Yeah,
we don't say tribute band because we were serious about that group, and we played with the Florida Orchestra twice. We went up to Buffalo and played with the Buffalo Phil. Went to Germany and played on Zappanale, which was a very interesting festival.
Was there any kind of cooperation between the Zappa estate and that group? I mean, or is this one of those bones of contention I'm not supposed to bring up?
Yeah. There was some friction, and we could not understand why. We kept getting cease and desist letters from Gail Zappa's attorneys. And later on, I figured out it was because she was basically preparing for Dweezil to go on the road with Zappa Play Zappa.
Oh, yeah.
That made sense, I guess.
Didn't she cease and desist him, too, before she died? Wasn't there some sort of awful family rift going on?
I'm not totally aware, but
maybe you blissfully missed all that.
Yeah, I did. I have enough rift in my life as is.
David, you're a trombonist. Bogus Pomp, how big of a horn section was in that band?
We had a 3-piece horn section.
Cool.
And really great players. It was a wonderful band and, wonderful musicians. We were very dedicated. We had probably, honestly, 3 hours of Zappa's music available.
This was charted, yeah? I mean, this was all written out, or did you just know it by heart?
I just wrote for the horns, but the rest of the band played, they memorized and played by ear.
Wow. Let's talk about the St. Petersburg Jazz Festival, which is kind of why we're here.
Right.
It is the 14th annual, and the opening show was last night with Alexis Cole at the Palladium. How'd that go?
Fantastic. She is such an incredible artist, and, the charts were great. She is great, and it was a full house. It was fantastic.
That was at the Palladium. The next two shows, let's talk about them. You've got one, at the Museum of Fine Arts, which is tonight.
Right. That's in the Marley Room, which is a beautiful room.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They have that fantastic Bösendorfer piano, which is a very rare piano. And it's Zach Bartholomew and his trio with Mauricio Rodriguez and Paul Gavin. These are all, incredible musicians. And they're playing the music of Chick Corea. And not the easy stuff. They're doing the really tough Chick Corea tunes. So.
Talk to me about Jason Charros, who's doing not you did the other guys are doing the Chick Corea program, but Saturday's show is a Wayne Shorter, can we say, tribute, celebrating Wayne Shorter,
celebrating.
The great trumpet player. So tell us about Jason and where this show is.
Well, Jason is now at the University of Miami Frost School of Music, but he is from the Pinellas County area, as is Dave Mason, who's coming in to play saxophone. And then we have Kendrick McAllister on tenor sax, and Jill Porter, a great bassist, used to play with Maynard Ferguson. Mm-hmm. He's from this area. And John Jenkins, another great drummer who spent a long time in New York. Those are the local guys. And then we have Connor Rohrer coming up from Miami. So they're doing a lot of the, you know, Wayne Shorter was kind of like Miles Davis. He went through these different periods.
He was in Weather Report, right? Is that what I'm remembering?
Right. But before that, he played with Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers.
Oh, yeah.
And so he kind of like Miles transitioned between different styles. And, of course,
yes.
Weather Report was, you know, the greatest jazz fusion group, perhaps, I think.
I would tend to agree with that. Some would say Return to Forever might have been, but you know, Weather Report, Jaco was just so cool. I'm dropping names here. This is my limited knowledge of I was going to call it contemporary jazz, but we're already talking almost 50 years ago. But Jaco was just an amazing, and Zelina was brilliant. Just a brilliant guy.
Oh, you know, this is what I love so much about jazz and presenting jazz is just really. These artists at such a high level, putting them together, allowing them to have a venue to display their talents. And we have great artists here in Florida. I mean, I'd say most of our artists are Floridians,
mm-hmm.
or they have a connection, like Alexis, her folks live in Sarasota. So, you know, who doesn't want to live in Florida? We have incredible weather. We have great artists, and I really make an effort to feature our Florida artists on the jazz festival.
One of the things that you and I have spoken about and in the Catalyst, probably too many times, but I always find this very sort of profound, is the fact that you've made this very clear that the St. Petersburg Jazz Festival is not about bringing the quote-unquote marquee names here. You know, it's not about, ooh, such and such is playing. I've heard of them. Or, you know, I had a record when I was in college. Let's go check them out. This is about the music. This is about musicianship. Tell me where that philosophy comes from, and maybe you could explain it a little bit.
I think that comes from EMIT, which is the nonprofit organization that's been around 27 years, and it funds and produces the Jazz Festival. And the mission of EMIT has always been to present artists that are creative, that are virtuosic, that are expressive. And mm-hmm. so we're not really trying to second guess and go, well, we think that people would like this, so we'll bring in these artists. It's more like, who really impresses me? So
you are EMIT, aren't you? Well, let's fess up here.
And Jim Stewart. Jim Stewart's also a board member. Yeah. We have some other board members. But, you know, I do so much of the grunt work involved in it that I go out and scout. And I just hear people that I want people to walk away from a concert and go, wow, I really experienced something unique.
That's a great sort of philosophy to have. You know, I lived in Savannah for a few years before we moved back to St. Petersburg. Not to bring myself back into the conversation, but what the hell, it's my show. And Savannah had a jazz society, and every year it was like, okay, well, We got Spyro Gyra this year. Next year, Tom Scott's coming in. And it was great to see these cats. And Tom Scott has a great legacy and was great to talk to. But at the same time, it felt a little desperate, I guess.
Yes.
You know, like, you don't really need to do this. And there's a lot of talent up there, too, and a lot of regional talent. I mean, don't you, in a manner of speaking, devil's advocate here, shoot yourself in the foot by saying, I'm going to bring all these people in that, by and large, you've never heard of?
Well, they have to just trust me.
Aha. Now we get to it.
I mean, and they have to trust that I'm going to bring in incredible people. And that trust has been built for 27 years. So I think it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those artists that have names in this tiny, tiny niche called jazz are incredibly expensive. So to be honest, we can't afford to spend $20,000 to bring in, you know, someone like Cassandra Wilson. And still, 99.9% of the population probably doesn't know who Cassandra Wilson is. They might know Wynton Marsalis, but then we'd have to cough up $30,000 or $40,000.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, and another thing we do is we try to present unique groups. We're not really interested in playing it safe and go, here's a straight ahead jazz group playing jazz standards that we've all heard so many times. So we like to bring in people that compose original music. This year, we are doing kind of tributes, which is a little unusual with the Chick Corea and the Celebrating Wayne Shorter concert. But you know, it's what we do. People know that we kind of present things that are a little cutting edge, and they like that.
They trust you. Tell me about Helios. The Helios Jazz Orchestra is one of your many projects. It's not on this bill, but you play a lot.
Well, yeah, and, you know, of course, we had our concert last night with Alexis Cole, and she, you know, we backed her, and it was a wonderful experience.
That's right, you did, yeah.
Yeah, so that group came together by accident. It's one of the rare situations where I didn't have to really sweat and work hard to put something together. I went to my program director and said, can I have an evening jazz band at the college? Put the word out, and all of a sudden these amazing musicians showed up, and it was like the old Russian folk story of Stone Soup, you know? Oh, you know, you've got, you know, Kenny's playing bass. I love Kenny's playing. I gotta be there.
Yeah, okay. There.
And that's how it happened, and it's been going on now for, oh gosh, I think we're looking at about 15 years now with Helios.
And you also have a Brazilian band called O Som do Jazz. Did I pronounce that correctly?
That's correct.
Let's talk about that.
That's O Som do Jazz. It's a 6 or 7 piece group. We play Brazilian music. We do samba, bossa nova, MPB, the popular music of Brazil, and baião. And my wife is from Rio. She's from Rio de Janeiro, so she sings in the group. And we have, of course, the La Lucha guys.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Feynman playing drums. We have Alejandro Arenas playing bass. And we go through several different pianists, including John O'Leary with La Lucha and Jeremy Douglas and Bruno Miranda.
Oh, Jeremy plays with you, too. That's, yeah. Well, you've, yeah. And John O'Leary is amazing. Yeah, amazing player.
And, you know, Jeremy's doing so well right now, working in musical theater, which is great to see his talents.
Hey,
there.
Jeremy, if you're listening, Jeremy just stage-managed Hamlet over there at Job Site, which I think was the first time he'd actually done that. And kind of I think he did the music too, but in a non-musical capacity. And he's a Renaissance man. He truly is. Got to get him in here too. You mentioned La Lucha, which made me think of Mira, which is, I think, how I met those guys through. It's called the Music Industry Recording Arts Program at SBC. Tell us what that is and tell us about that.
That program is kind of focused on teaching students real-world audio applications. We focus on Avid's Pro Tools as our main platform. And we have music business courses. We have mixing courses. We have ensembles that are kind of oriented more toward contemporary music. So we have a rock and roll ensemble. At one point, we had a laptop ensemble. So it's a program at St. Petersburg College, Music Industry Recording Arts, or MIRA. And it started with 12 students back in 2008. Mm-hmm. Within a couple years, we had over 250 students. So there's a need for it. And it's been very exciting for me to learn all this technology continually and update.
What I think is so interesting about that is I will talk to artists who work as or function as mentors for other artists. And one of the things they talk about always is you can be an artist, it's brilliant, but you also need to learn the business of art, of how to promote yourself, how to sell yourself. And what you're talking about is how to record, right? How to understand. And so that's just as important if somebody's going to be a professional or semi-professional musician, isn't it?
Yes. And our students graduate and they're working live sound. One of them's doing a Disney on Ice touring all over the world. They operate studios. They do live sound at the performing arts centers. Some are composers and performers, and they're writing their music, getting licensed. And so we have a kind of a broad-based program.
How long? You told me how long you've been with SBC right at the beginning, and I didn't write it down, so remind me.
It's 31 years.
31, you did tell me. Are you from here? You a native guy? What's your story?
Almost. I mean, I grew up in Dunedin.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to high school there.
Pretty town. I like Dunedin. I love the downtown. It's beautiful.
But I, you know, originally born in Chicago, but then I wound up living in Miami and eventually in the Melbourne area. My folks worked for NASA during the Apollo missions.
Wow.
Yeah, my father had the job of driving around Peterbilt trucks hauling liquid oxygen and hydrogen.
Wow.
So talk about a dangerous job there.
And, wow. And my mother almost as dangerous as programming a jazz festival. Wow.
Yeah, so that was great. My mother worked in the vertical assembly building.
Wow.
So, you know, it was great growing up. We got to go out into the front yard, and they would send up a rocket, and I'm trying to remember the sequence. I think I would feel the, I would see it, the flame of, you know, the rocket flare. The ground would shake, and then I would hear the rumble come in. And it was quite often.
What era are we, I mean, I don't want to, we don't want to go there, but what era vaguely are we talking about? Are we talking about like Apollo or? Yeah,
the Apollo
really?
Mission.
Wow.
Yeah, my father was on Apollo 11. He worked during that mission.
Wow. Okay. I didn't want to go back that far, but okay. Apollo 11. So, I mean, did you go to some of the launches? Do you remember actually going or did you just see it from your yard?
We just like saw it from our yard.
Wow. And,
you know, occasionally they unmanned missions, they would blow them up. That was always fun as a kid to watch the rocket turn sideways and flip and then blow up.
I've seen the footage, yeah. Wow. What a story. So what brought you over here and when was that?
You know, my father got a job with the city of Clearwater. So we moved over here probably around 1970, 71.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
And you haven't left since.
Well, I went to, I was up north. I taught at Indiana State for 6 years.
You did leave since. And, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I went for about a decade and like a lot of people came back. Isn't it funny how that happened?
Yeah, that happened to me too. I was gone 28 years or 30 or something. Anyway, one more thing.
Sure.
Was it always jazz for you? How did that come into your orbit? To use a NASA-related phrase?
Not really. Originally, I wanted to play in an orchestra, and I did play with the Memphis Symphony and mm-hmm. the Florida West Coast Symphony, which is now the Sarasota Orchestra. So I started, I always liked jazz. I went to a couple Stan Kenton clinics when I was in high school, but focused on orchestral music for about a decade and played in a couple smaller orchestras. And then when I came back to Florida, began doing commercial music, and I was just talking with my students. I did a Florida tour with Burt Bacharach in a pit orchestra with him. He was very nice.
Thank you for bringing that up. I read that in your bio, and yeah, I mean, let's stop for a second. Tell me memories of Bacharach. I mean, he was kind to all the musicians in the pit orchestra.
He was very nice, and you know, most of them are. Some folks aren't in showbiz, and you know, everybody has their bad days. But no, he was very nice with the band, very understated. And same with Henry Mancini, did a bunch of concerts with him. And I remember Mancini was asked, because they had a Q&A at the concert, someone asked him, does it upset you to hear your music played in elevators? And Mancini said, no, as long as I get a royalty check.
Always at the basis of music somewhere. So jazz, you're doing this work, but suddenly, but eventually things change.
Yeah, I kind of drifted back into jazz in the 90s, really. And, you know, I started playing in some clubs. And then we put a group together called Shim, which was kind of an experimental jazz group. And it got a lot of recognition. In fact, some of the music we recorded with Shim has been used on TV shows.
Mm.
Some music I wrote recently, a show called Your Honor with Bryan Cranston.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, it's nice to have your music show up on a TV show. You get a little check, not a big check, but a nice check.
And yeah, it's just like Mancini, you get that check. Yeah, and his was probably a little bigger.
I think so. He told me he bought his first house. He said he had like $20 in the bank account when he wrote the theme to Peter Gunn.
Wow.
And when that show aired, he bought a house.
Dun, 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 dun. What a great tune.
Title track, yeah.
So, and here we are, 31 years at SBC now. A lot of change there. I mean, it was St. Pete Junior College when I went there a long time ago.
yeah.
So where are you at the main campus over there? Are you downtown or where are you? I don't even know what the main campus is anymore. There's so many.
The Gibbs campus. Gibbs is over on Fifth Avenue North and 66th Street.
Yes.
Okay. The college has, I think, 9, possibly 11 different campuses all over Pinellas County.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We are talking with David Manson, who is the founder and executive director, artistic director, and main man, head honcho, top dog, big cheese. Spit that one out, of the St. Petersburg Jazz Festival, which continues tonight at the Museum of Fine Arts in the Marley Music Room. And then Saturday, remind me.
At American Stage.
At American Stage. Because they're between shows, so you're on the main stage then.
Yes.
So we'll end the show with that. And David Manson, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you, Bill.
Always good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Take care, buddy.